All right, this is going to sound like shit because I'm recording it on my weird little Sony MP3 player, but I just had a thought go through my head that I wanted to fucking record right away. So, if you listen to the last ham radio, I was talking about fucking coming back to Toronto for this girl, and then at the end I was like, oh, sad, she broke up with me. So, it's been a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and man, did I feel sad, so sad. Be angry and then be crying and just getting weird for just like 2 weeks is awful. Because it's like a 1-2 punch. Is the whole situation was predicated on me just not having my shit together. Like coming back to Toronto for some girl. And then when she kicked me to the curb, it's like, man, she's not wrong. This is not the best version of me. And, you know, slowly started, the scales start to tip. Like, instead of just feeling bad all day, it's like, all right, now I only feel bad half the day. And now I only feel bad a quarter of the day. And now I only feel bad, like, little dribs and drabs throughout the day. I'm feeling a lot better. But I think a huge amount of why I feel better is this guy I found on YouTube named Elliot Hulse. I went on YouTube and I just looked up breakup. It's the same thing I did with the EXO. I did about, what the fuck is that shit called? Limerence? I just like looked up limerence and I just found clips. So I looked up breakup and just downloaded the first page worth of results. I always download YouTube videos and if they're just talking heads, like I just convert them to MP3 and listen to them as I'm walking around. And it was just a bunch of bullshit, whatever. Oh, it just takes time, blah, blah, blah. The only guy that stood out to me was this guy, Elliot Hulse, who it turns out is like this bodybuilder, this big muscly guy. And he was the only dude that had like really good advice. And he ended off, it was so weird. He's like, I'm gonna tell you to pray. Even though I'm not Christian, I don't believe in like religion shit, really. Just do it for you, and like to send out that energy or whatever, like just to have that connection in your mind, or just like that you're saying it out loud, that you just wish the best for the other person. And I was like, that's crazy, what a crazy thing to say, but so cool. The guy just seemed really cool to me. So I downloaded a bunch of his stuff and I've been listening through it. And he's kind of all over the place. He's not too, like, beholden to, like, thinking that he's right. He just has a lot of theories. He's like, maybe this, maybe that. Some of it's cool, some of it I don't really follow. But the main thing that he really nailed home is the, like, mind-body connection, which I always believed in, but I just never paid that much attention to. He's like, you know, you're stuck in your head and you just can't stop thinking about dumb shit. The only way to get out of your head is to be more aware of your body, and the best way to be more aware of your body is just to fucking exercise. So that's what I've been doing, is like exercising and working, like trying to throw myself into writing and stuff. And already, like, I don't know, I can do more push-ups, I can, like, I'm so skinny that I can see muscles right away. I don't know, man, I notice it. I take off my shirt, I already look better. It's crazy, and it just feels so much better. So I've been compiling clips of his, and I'm going to make an XO about him, but I mean, that could take forever for me to go through all his stuff and get everything together and do all my meticulous editing. I don't want to wait that long. Also, I was listening to, I just went to Old Mill Station in Toronto. It's like a 20-minute walk from my house, and there's these steps that go down to the Humber River. And I've just started running up and down those steps. I can only run up and down them like 4 or 5 times. But, well, I mean, it was 3 times and now it's 5. Like, even that, I'm already noticing it. And it is just, it's shocking how much better you feel when you're just like, you just exercise, dude. Like, because you had to do that in the old days and we were just a fucking hunter-gatherer. Like, you had to exercise. You had to. And it seems so obvious that, like, people are all fucked up because they don't anymore. Like, I walked by a guy at the corner of Bloor and Islington in his car, just like, you know, angry, road raging. And from this perspective especially, it's like, yeah, man, fuck, he's just sitting in his car, moving around faster than he was ever meant to move, but with no energy expended. Like, that's crazy. No wonder that makes people fucking crazy. That's so fundamentally frustrating on so many levels. But I was listening to music while I was doing my little run, my little jog. And these stairs, they're extra good because I can't jog really because I have fallen arches and I get shin splints and it's so painful. So I can't jog long distances, but up and down stairs is perfect because, you know, it just blows you up way faster. Some rocky shit. So also, every once in a while I do ham radios about albums, about specific albums, and I was listening to Limp Bizkit's 2005 EP, The Undisputed Truth. I'm pretty sure, as much as I love it, I always forget what it's actually called. And it's awesome, man. Like, the first Limp Bizkit album was awesome, and that one was awesome. But nobody cared about that one. That was after Limp Bizkit became a joke, and it's such a shame because it's so fucking good. So I was thinking, like, man, I want to do a ham radio just about that fucking album. I just want to play all, whatever it is, 5-6 songs from that album. But then I was thinking, I also just want to do a thing about Elliot Hulse. And, like, what do I have to say about these songs in between? I don't have anything to say about them. I just like them. So I'm going to combine the two. I'm going to do a show about this Limp Bizkit EP that I like so much. But I'm just going to take some clips of Elliot Hulse and just throw them in between the songs. So this is a weird combination, Elliot Hulse, Limp Bizkit, fucking ham radio. Because that's what ham radio's for. Instead of all this meticulous editing and TikTok tinker work, clockwork fucking nonsense, this is where I just fucking do some shit that I want to do. I can do it tonight, bing, bang, boom. Get it up tomorrow, bam! So that's what I'm going to do. I hope you like it. Thank you for listening. KeithCourage.com. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah.
So our friend Michael is dealing with a sudden heartbreak. Essentially, a woman that he's loved, and she's loved him for well over a year, with the perfect relationship, in Michael's mind at least. He goes on and on and on about how madly and deeply in love they were with one another, and if they weren't only 20 years old, he would have asked her to marry him. The significance placed on the amount of the heaviness of love in his heart needs to be expressed here. And anybody who's been madly stupid in love, because really it's a letting go of our head when we fall in love. I mean, you totally become a different person. You're walking on clouds. This is, I understand, Michael wants us to understand his feelings, and that has to be brought to light. Deeply in love. But out of nowhere, she decides to break up with him, right? This is all like a shock to our friend. And he doesn't know what to do. He's caught between this place of, I've been devastated. A part of me has been taken away. Something that I want, that I'm so attached to, that has been serving me. This relationship, you have been ripped out of my life so suddenly. That's painful. Especially when he's fallen. When you fall in love, you're literally resting on that person. If that person slips, boom, you fall on the floor. Michael is flat on his fucking face because the love of his life has left him. Not only is he confused about what the hell just happened, but apparently his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend is in a place where she's describing the need to move further on the path of her personal development. There are things that she needs to go do or explore or achieve, whatever the case may be, in order for her to feel like a full person. And the reality is we've got to feel full in ourselves before we can have a mature relationship with another individual. If you've got two halves that are codependent and you rip them apart, then you've got two empty people, broken. But if you've got two whole people, right? And it's all a process. We're never fully whole. But two people who are on the journey of becoming stronger versions of themselves individually and then decide to join each other on that path, you're in a far more resourceful place than neediness, right? So she has this aching within her to go and fill some other gaps that she's, right? Some other gaps, not her vagina, that she feels are not being fulfilled with you by her side, okay? And my heart goes out to you. Empathy, 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 empathy. I want to read, I don't do this very often, but I want to read just a paragraph out of a book that I often reference, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. This is probably the best definition of the meaning of love that I've read. Now, there's so many different ways to look at love, different angles that are all resourceful. This is a really good one. And I want to read it to you here because it's going to help you. Beyond the fact that every experience, every challenging experience that you have is a chance to grow stronger. So I'm grateful for your pain, right? I've said this hundreds of times. So if you've been watching my channel for long enough, my assumption is that you know I'm going to say, good, you're feeling some pain, huh? Right? Because that's all going to contribute to you growing stronger. You've got to have challenges. If there are no challenges in your life, there's no growth. So this is a good thing. That's the very first place you should proceed from. It is, okay, how am I growing stronger through this challenge? What do I have to learn? What can I learn through this challenge? What part of me am I being shown or asked to strengthen through this challenge? Always subjective, always go in first. Right? Always, 100% of the time, with all of your dealings that seem extrinsic, meaning other people or circumstances, always go in first. That needs to be said before I start reading stuff, because I don't want to just sprinkle some fluffy shit, you know, some sprinkles on the poop in order to make it look like it's something that it's not, right? We can't just beat around the bush here. The fact is, you're dealing with some pain, you need to go in first, right? Figure yourself out. The second thing is to now figure out how you want to look at the situation with this woman. Love is the only way to grasp another human being. In the innermost core of his personality or her personality, no one can become fully aware of the essence of another human being unless he loves her. By his love, he's enabled to see the essential traits and features in which the beloved person, and even more, he sees that which is potential in her. So you see the potential. You see the strongest version of her in her when you see that person's innermost, right? Which is not yet fully actualized, but ought to be actualized. Furthermore, by his love, the loving person enables the beloved person to actualize these potentialities, right? Through your love, that person becomes the strongest version of themselves. By making her aware of what she can be and of what she should be, he makes these potentialities come true. Basically, what Viktor Frankl is saying here is that true love is seeing the strongest version of someone in them, their innermost core, looking at that person and seeing all they can be, and then centering your purpose for that person around serving them to become that, giving all you have to support that person in becoming the strongest version of themselves. That is your only objective. You're not in charge of her. You don't own her. When you love someone, you don't own them. See, that's a big mistake that we have, even with regard to marriage. I'm married, but I don't own my wife, right? When you're in a loving relationship with someone, you don't own that person, and that person doesn't own you. What you've decided to do is to support each other in becoming stronger versions of each other. You've decided to open your hearts up so that you can see each other at their inner core. Her at her inner core and you at your inner core, and then do everything in your life, everything in your power to show back that person a mirror reflection of the beauty that you see in them, the strongest version that you see in them, and then doing everything that you can to help bring that out of that person. Right? That's your only objective. It's not to snuggle and cuddle and hold on to and schmoopy moopy moopy and own that person, make that person a plaything for you, because that's what we do. That person tickles me in a particular way that makes me feel good. And then, you know, eventually that tickling goes away and like you're no longer in love, right? The fact is that the real truth of a mature relationship is not in ownership, it's in support of the other person. Now, if you truly love her, right? And I'm asking you to do a number of things here. You've got to go in, become introspective, become a stronger version of yourself first. That's always first. Become a stronger version of yourself. Knuckle up. Become stronger. And it doesn't mean become callous. It doesn't mean become cold. It doesn't mean become hard. It doesn't mean stuffing your tears in. It means become very subjective. Become very self-reflective. Become very aware of what's going on inside you. Become very self-aware. That's what this is, my invitation is always about here, guys. It's going in and figuring out who you are, what you're all about, that strongest version of yourself, so that you can see it and make that come out, right? You've got to do that first. This might be a good opportunity for you to take a few weeks and say, you know what, babe, you're right. I need to do some of that also, right? You don't want to be that needy partner. It's like, no, baby, don't leave me, right? Because she'll resent you even more. You need to actually do what she's doing, and it's to go in and figure some shit out where you can become stronger, right? She's showing you a weakness in you right now by leaving you and you feeling all this vulnerability. That needs to be patched up. And then support her in becoming the strongest version of herself, regardless of what that looks like. See, a lot of times we want them to look like a particular image of a stronger version of themselves that we've made up. And the way that is going to happen, the path towards becoming the strongest version of the fucking image you have in your head, we like to make up. But if you really love a person, you've got to let them go to travel the path that their heart is taking them on and to become that which their heart desires. It's going to be very different for every single person. It's going to be tremendously different for every single person. No two people are going to experience the same path, and no two people are going to have the same end. But if you truly love someone and you see that they're doing it through purity of purpose and groundedness, right? See, a lot of you guys are too I use the term immature because it's just a misunderstanding. You don't understand Elliot Hulse when he says follow your heart or invite other people to follow their hearts. There's a difference between allowing someone to follow their hearts that's a pure calling, that's grounded, and someone who's hysterical. It's like, you know, if she decides, like, I just want to, like, kill raccoons and live in a makeshift a cardboard box, right? That's like, okay, babe, that's probably a little bit neurotic. There's something else going on there. Let's talk, right? But then again, I don't know. You've got to sense these things. You got to sense these things. You've got to get in touch with that person's inner core. And if you feel that she's moving from her inner core on a journey that's going to support her in becoming the strongest version of herself, dude, you got to let go. You totally got to let go. And if she comes back, that means you were meant to be on the journey further along together. You got to separate. You got to separate to come back together again. You got to grow stronger as individuals to come together again as a unit. Right? You don't want a needy bitch on your hands, and she doesn't want a whiny pussy, right? Lack of a man on her hands. You both need to become stronger versions of yourselves. And that happens independently. It doesn't happen together. Support her the best you can. If supporting her basically means leave her alone, don't contact her like she's asking you to, that's fine. The care in your heart will allow you to do that. Maybe watch her from afar. Say prayers, right? That might sound strange. Say fucking prayers, right? Who the hell tells you to say prayers, right? I'm not even a Christian. I'm telling you to say some fucking prayers. Get on your hands and knees. Because that is an energetic expression of love. That is you sharing, expressing, and reaching out that feeling that you have to her without actually being there with her. Send her good vibes. That's another way to say it. Meditate on her, okay? And that's it, man. That's the best you can do, right? Toughen up and say some prayers. Peace.
Fade and slowly.
All right, another one of these questions about, you know, love and loss, essentially. You know, a lot of you guys are young and you're falling in love with these girls, as you should. I made an earlier video this week, or you'll see it eventually, where I say, yes, you should fall in love. The problem is you're personally identifying with the experience that you have with these girls. You're 16 years old, you got a friend here, and he's having a lot of anxiety with his girlfriend because when they're together, everything is great, but when they're apart, he finds that other guys flirt with her, they message each other on Facebook, and he has a lot of anxiety when they're not together, so he just wants to be with her. Like, I need to be with you all the time because if I let you go, and you go to the store, like, you might bump into a friend and start talking and giggling with another man. or if you catch her on Facebook, like, what could happen? Somebody might take her away from you, right? And this is all the fucking anxiety. So you wanna bottle her up and keep her with you all the time, right? Mine. You understand? You're only secure when she's mine, when you have her, mine. Very immature place to come from with regard to love, and it stems from not standing on your own two feet and sucking her tits for nourishment. Titty sucking's for babies, guys. You don't get nourishment from your woman in that particular way. You can't personally identify with her love for you. Love happens for the sake of love, not ownership. Right? And you want to own something if you're nourished by it, fully nourished by it. The same way a baby sucks on the tit because it needs the mom's breast to fucking nourish it or dies, you energetically latch on to her, and your personal worth, growth, and esteem is coming from another mortal, from a 16-year-old girl, bro. She probably still has a fucking Hello Kitty iPhone. She's your mommy now? That's what happens. She ends up becoming your mommy. And mommy kicked you off the breast when you were 3 years old, if you were that lucky. So now you don't want to let this one go, right? She rubs your dick, pats your back, and suck her tit. When I talk about vulnerable love, which I did in an earlier video, or one that you might see this week, I don't mean... giving up your own sense of worth or stability or grounding. You need to be your own fucking man first. And if every single time she's not around you, all you can think about is how you can get her back because you might lose her, that means you have nothing else. And like I've said in other videos, men need to have their mission. What are you up to? What else are you doing? Are you 100% completely invested in your woman, because it's a dangerous place to be? Or are you living in the virtual world of gaming, you know, games? Or are you being creative? How are you dropping your seed? How are you ejaculating into the world, right? One of the things that had saved me as a young man was weight training. I'd bust my nut in the gym, do you understand? Metaphorically. I'd lift weights, and I started noticing, wow, my muscles are getting bigger. Oh my God, I can move more weight. Oh my God, I'm a better athlete. Oh my God, I can get an athletic scholarship. Oh my God, MVP. I was building the relationship with myself through achievement in the world. And that's what you need to do. Go fucking do something, dude. Get a hobby. Something respectable. It doesn't even need to be respectable. Fuck that. Give me something unrespectable as long as you feel grounded in it. Can't reiterate this enough, man. You gotta stand on your own two feet before you give your balls and heart to a woman. You need to possess yourself first, otherwise you're gonna be obsessed with possessing her. That's slavery for both of you, because you don't own anyone else. If she's giggling and snickering and kissing other boys, that's her prerogative. That's her becoming the stronger version of herself. That's her engaging in the experiences that she has to have in order to grow the way she needs to grow. Now, when you love someone and you see them making mistakes, that hurts even more. But if you love someone and you see them expanding and they're doing things that you don't particularly like because, you know, you want to bottle her up and keep her for yourself, but she's expanding as a human being, you got to say, let love do what love has to do. And lot of times love has to fucking let go. And that's how it's strengthened. It doesn't mean that the love with her is going to strengthen, but your ability to love in a mature fashion will be strengthened.
Check. Shut the fuck up.
You shut the fuck up.
Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? That's the question. The question at hand. Oh man, fuck this. Fuck this. You know, I lost my place a long time ago. About 50 fucking rhymes ago. I'm wrecking again. I'm seriously considering checking myself in. Locked inside this key chamber. There's millions of keys inside. But only one can stop my anger. And I'm not fading away, so I just have to die. Unlocking the doors in my mind. How many doors will I find? I think I got the key. I guess I'll just try another. Cause that's the key. Unlocking the doors in my mind. How many doors will I find? I think I got the key. I guess I'll just try another.
Hey, so we got a question from our friend Alice. She has a dear friend, is what she calls him, who is sick and depressed. So he's got an illness that could potentially kill him, but he refuses to go to the doctor. He says, I'm just waiting till this all just takes over and brings me to my deathbed. He's a depressing, sad, downer type guy, and Alice is always trying to tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, wake up. Why are you so depressed? Why don't you go to the doctor? Why don't you do something? Why don't you enjoy your life? Get out of this depression. Alice is really heavily invested in his experiencing life to its fullest, right? Noble cause. You want to see your friend become the strongest version of himself. But he is not just mediocre. He's dug himself into a ditch, mentally, physiologically, and physically. In many ways, you might say, that perhaps he's a lost cause. But you come to Elliot, right? Because I tend to give some interesting ideas that might support you and your ability to support him, because that's what it's all about, right? Become the strongest version of yourself, inspire others. What can I do, Elliot, to motivate my friend, to motivate himself, so that he could experience life to its fullest? Here's the thing. I'm not interested in your friend, nor do I want to talk about your friend, Alice. I want to talk about you. Okay, I'm wondering why you're so heavily invested in pulling this person up out of their ditch. Now, I'm not saying that you should be hard-hearted or indifferent to other people's pain, but there tends to be a particular type of person, you, who is very attracted to victims, him. He has chosen his position in life at this point, and he is a taker, he's a sucker, he's a victim, okay? And again, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do what we can do to invite him back up out of the ditch and to enjoy life. But the amount of emotional investment that you have in it, which is evident through the letter that you wrote me, begs me to consider that perhaps you are dealing with a situation where your self-worth is intrinsically linked to your ability to help victims. And that's often a manifestation of experiences that we had with our parents of the opposite sex. So my question to you is, why do you feel that your self-worth is tied up in saving him? Oftentimes, young women who find themselves attracted to damaged boys, and when I say damaged boys or damaged men, I mean like those who are just like, life is heavy and hard for them. They've been a victim. They're victimized. Victimized, because he clearly is creating his situation. Victimized by the illness. Victimized by the depression. And just all the bad. He can't even kill himself. She says that he tried to attempt suicide, but it was just too much. You perhaps have experienced a situation where your father, correct me if I'm wrong, was victimized by life also, but as a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, young girl, you couldn't save him. Maybe your dad was fired from his job and, you know, spent the rest of his days as an alcoholic and you just wanted to save your daddy. Or perhaps your mom was a bitch and treated him poorly and you always just wanted to stand up and save your daddy. Whatever it is, for some reason, you feel that your self-worth is tied to your ability to save someone, particularly a man. I would invite you to turn away from him and his situation because it's nothing but, he's nothing but an anchor. And if it's not him, let's say he dies. He's gone. Oh, poor Pete. He killed himself, because that's really what he did. Even if he doesn't take his own life with a gun, he's killing himself with the illness. You're going to find another victim, and the next man that you decide to enroll in relationship with, be it sexually or friendship-wise, is going to be another anchor, another loser, another person you've got to save. Now, you could go about, there's nothing wrong with this. Hey, you could go about the rest of your life looking for people to save. And if that's your, if that's the way the spirit wants to move through you, then that's just fine. But I have a tendency to think that there are probably better, greater, more powerful things that you could do to reach people who want to be helped. See, if he decides that he wants to take your help and he becomes what he potentially could be, you have now lost your positioning. You've lost your grounding. Oh shit. He doesn't want to kill himself anymore. He actually is getting healthy. He's feeling good. And then you know what you're going to have to do? Come back home. Oh, he went on. You're left at home now with no purpose. So what are you going to do? You're going to look for another loser. Ah, oh, he's sick. He's sad. He's depressed. I want to help him. And then he either kills himself or you actually motivate him. And then you know what's going to happen? You're going to have to come back home. You're going to have to keep coming back home. So my invitation is, come home now and figure out why is it that you feel that you need to do this and is there something better that you could do with your time? Again, I tend to think that there are things that you could do that could support people who genuinely are in a situation where they just need a hand. Okay? So that's it. I didn't answer your question because I don't think your question is the really is the question behind the question. The question behind the question is, why are you attracted to someone like this? And how can you become a stronger version of yourself so that you don't fall into ditches with downers and you can help build up people who want to be built up? Good luck.
It could be the absinthe talking. Everything, something is not feeling right. The planets are not all aligned. I know what I've felt this before. My evil is thirsty for more. I need a new outlet to feed. What can I do? I've got an idea. I think I'll just become a priest, deceiving them with my belief. I'll preach about what life is worth and cover my sins with a church. My demons can run. I think I'll just become a priest, deceiving them with my belief. I'll preach about what life is worth and cover my sins with a church. My demons can run around free. No one will suspect a thing. I'll show them it's okay to lust. A priest is a church I can trust. I found a new outlet to feed. Baptized by the unexpected. Terrorized by the imperfections. Terrorized by the imperfections.
Garcia, priests molesting children. I see terrorists blowing up buildings. I see someone in rage killing Dimebag on stage. What the fuck is this? What the fuck is this? I got a kid. Should I send him to Sunday school? I got a kid. Should I send him to Sunday school so you can fuck him?
This morning I get an email in my Facebook inbox, and it comes from a guy who wants to know how he should go about dealing with a woman that he loves that also seems to have a big problem. She's anorexic. Now, our friend goes on to ask me, how do I help this woman learn about nutrition, and how can I help educate her on what to eat so that she can be healthy? The very first thing that I always do, and this is very important, write this down if you can grab a pen. One of the very first things that I personally do, and that I offer you to do, is to look at yourself first when trying to help someone else out. You can only help people to the degree that you can help yourself, and if you don't know where you're coming from, if you're not clear about who you are, what your own limitations are, it's going to be very difficult to have a clear eye and clear understanding, unclouded vision when supporting someone else. So what I like to do when you guys send me questions is I like to go to your Facebook wall. I like to click through and see the about page. And fortunately, our friend today had a website, a blog. I clicked over to his blog, and he's a brilliant artist. You know, I'm talking to you right now. You are a brilliant artist, you know this. But I noticed something interesting. All of your art is of women. The face of women, not their bodies, but their face. Their eyes are always full, colorful, bright, but sad. And you know what I'm talking about. Blotches all over the face, almost like tears, as if someone had done something horrible to these women. You hold the women in these pictures in a high esteem. You adorn their heads with beautiful things and flowers and feathers, meaning that you understand a sense of wisdom. You receive a sense of wisdom from these women in your pictures. But yet they look hurt. You love them. You appreciate, you respect them, but they're hurt. And this is what your heart is bringing out in your hands as you paint these pictures. There's a tendency for us to relive or reenact the experiences that we had with our parents as adults. And for you to seek out women that are victims, hurt women, damaged women. Now, I'm not challenging your feelings for this girl. Not at all. What I'm asking you to do is take a look at why you're choosing damaged women to help. Okay? What type of relationship did you have with your mom? If I had to guess, I'd say that your mom was someone that you really appreciated, admired, loved, respected, but you had a feeling, a sense that you needed to help her. Somehow she was damaged, or she was hurt by someone, or she suffered from depression. Something, somehow, your mom evoked this feeling of neediness from you. Help me, my son, is what I sense your mom screamed. It's evident through your art, It's evident through the women that you're choosing. Don't look to help your friend just yet. Explore these feelings. Explore what's going on within you. Why is it that you feel you need to save her? Because if you don't save her, I guarantee you, you're going to find another woman to save. And you're going to hop from damaged woman to damaged woman your entire life looking for someone to save. Because it reenacts and brings about feelings, good feelings. You feel good when you do this. I know you do, because you wanted to save your mom, but you couldn't save your mom. You're a kid. Your mom's an adult. Whatever she was dealing with was way out of bounds for you, way over your head. But you loved her and you wanted to help her. And so what you're doing is you're trying to help your mom by helping these damaged women. Explore these feelings, explore these ideas. I got goosebumps right now, dude, because this is coming from my heart. I sincerely feel that this is something you need to explore first before you go and help other women. Because the sentiment from what you perceive, like I've mentioned before, is going to color the entire relationship. Because if she gets better, if she gets healthy, she starts eating right, she's happy, she's healthy, she can stand on her own two legs, your relationship will end. Because she no longer will be giving you what you need, which is a damaged, needy woman. For those of you who are listening to this and, you know, this doesn't apply to you because this is a unique situation, listen. Always, always, always seek what's in your heart first before proceeding towards anyone or any activity. Where are you coming from? A lot of times it's difficult to see this. That's why I offer perspective for you. Where are you coming from? What's in your heart? Because what you do with your hands don't matter nearly as much as where the hands are coming from or what the hands are attached to. So, my friend, continue to be the immaculate artist that you are. Explore the feelings that are inside you that are causing you to seek out damaged women that you need to help. Where are there gaps in your own self-esteem, in your own psyche, your own feelings, your own emotion that need to be healed? All right? Good luck. Grow stronger.
I already know you. I'm down in two. I already. long as I'm here, as long as you know you can keep me here. For whenever you get lost, or you need an excuse to cover up your intentions. You hate that I express how I'm feeling. You hate that you relate to this shit. You hate that I'm a tick, a motherfucking tick. You're fighting hard to forget. This is the channel I'm down into.
Yo, so we got a question from our buddy, Mr. Parkour, he calls himself. And essentially, he's fallen in love. Now, our buddy is kind of what he calls an introvert, right? And there's this girl that he's been sitting next to in class for 2 years, and he fell in love with her instantly. She didn't know, only he did, because he never professed his love. And he's been watching Elliot Hulse's videos long enough that he has come to the realization and has built the courage to speak his heart. And he's told his love, he's professed his love to this girl that's in class with him, and she friendly, kindly turned him down, and now he's distraught. Essentially, his heart's been broken. He put himself out there to be challenged and hurt. And now he doesn't know, like, he's at a loss. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to go about proceeding with the girl or to ultimately get over the situation or end up having someone else to be his life partner or girlfriend, you know? And I'm assuming this is probably, like, one of your first girlfriends. Look, dude, one of the things that I want you to recognize is that every single experience we have in our lives, everything that we go through, both positive and negative across the board, serves two purposes. The first purpose is the more superficial one. It's the one we're focused on. And that purpose is to give us something. Either give us a new girlfriend or to give us, you know, some sort of success, right? It's what we get. It's the attainment of the goal. It's that thing that we can tangibly say, yes, I have attained. The other thing that all these experiences offer us that is very different, it's far more subtle, but thousands of times more powerful, potent, and transformative for you and your life, is who you're becoming through the challenges, who you're becoming through the experiences. So I've once heard that if you take someone who's a millionaire, right? Someone who's gone through all the challenges that's required to build a million-dollar business, become a millionaire. This man has $1 million, right, in his hands or in his bank. He's got $1 million. He's attained the goal. He's gone through everything that he has had to do in order to get that thing, right? Just like you opened up your heart, that's what you had to do to ultimately or hopefully get that thing, your girlfriend, right? Didn't work out that way, but that's okay. If you take all that money away from him, and you take all his connections away from him, and you put him in a foreign country, within a year, he will be a millionaire again. The reason why is because he's the type of person, because of the experiences that he has had, that can make $1 million. He's a million-dollar person. It's not the $1 million that matters so much, it's that you become a million-dollar person. Now, to become a million-dollar person, you've got to go through some penny broke days. You've got to go through all sorts of ups and downs, challenges, disappointments, minor successes and setbacks to ultimately become a million-dollar person. You would like to be the type of guy that can approach women, create a relationship with one, and whatever your aspirations are with regard to how you want to proceed in that relationship with her, And that sets in your heart is what you want, right? Maybe you want to have a life partner. You want a wife. Maybe you just want a girlfriend. Maybe you just want to get laid. Whatever it is, that's your thing. But you're going to have to go through several, you're going to have to fall down and hurt yourself a couple times. in order for you to become that type of person. Because if you got what you wanted without the challenge associated with the pain and failure that you're experiencing right now, it wouldn't really be yours. You wouldn't be able to appreciate it the way you should be appreciating it, the way that God or the universe wants you to appreciate it. Now, you might say to yourself, oh, hell yeah, that's bullshit. I really love her. I really wanted her. If I would have had her, things would be exactly the way I want them and my life would be great. What I'm telling you is no. She was set there as an opportunity for you to scrape your knees, grow stronger based on the challenge so that you can try again. And you might need to try. Now, here's the thing. When you try again, you already have the experiences associated with failure. You won't make some of the same mistakes, right? Now, don't get this twisted. Putting your heart out there is never a mistake. Opening yourself up to even get stabbed, even get hurt, even for your heart to get trampled on is never a bad idea. Always open your heart up. Never become callous in your heart. Do it again. But the lessons you should learn are how you go about opening your heart, right? A lot of this is physiological and energetic. So breathe deeper, be more grounded, be more centered, have a stronger or more concrete intention when you approach the next woman. Which your situation with her is over. Even if she does decide to get with you again in any time in the future, if she just like, if you said the right thing at the right time one day and she decides to get back with you, the relationship will not be founded on strength, right? She will resent you in some very subtle way for a very long time. You might end up getting with her several years from now after you've grown through the experiences of doing this several different times and you're a different person. She won't fall in love with you. She's not going to get with you, who you are right now. She might fall in love with a stronger version of you, right? That you're going to become through these challenges. Do you understand? So be grateful, and I'm happy for you that she didn't give you what you thought you wanted. Be grateful for the challenge, because in the same way that when you go to the gym and you challenge your muscles with greater and greater extrinsic forces, right? Basically heavier, heavier, heavier weights, you grow stronger every week. This was a heavy load for you to carry, and you're still carrying. Gather what you need to experience from this, you know? Be very practical about it. What did I learn here? And what can I do differently? Gather that. Make it a part of who you are. They're tools now. You now have tools to navigate the next step of this journey. And then do it again. And guess what? Put your heart out there and it might get hurt a second time. Cry. Feel the emotion associated with it. Mourn. And then do it again. And you might get hurt again. And you might get hurt 10 times before you find that one woman, that one circumstance, that one experience that transforms your life forever. And don't be fooled. It won't be that singled out opportunity. It won't be that 10th thing that made you happy. It would have been all 9 that made you strong enough to handle number 10. You see that, buddy? Good luck.
Just slip and let time. Check, check, check. Come on. If you ever take a minute of your life, after a minute when you feel the lightning strike, to each his own on the level of that moment. But it's your moment and you know you're fucking on it. Glorified and embraced by your victory. When you're done, you escape with that memory. Blindfolded through this life as we learn. And consequence when the wrong pages turn. It's an e-true Hollywood story. Take a man's out with his own glory. Now guess who's next? At some point we come down from the highs. And so be it, we move on with our lives. And some of us let the last come across. Do the math, you can laugh when I die. If life is just a fantasy, then could you live this fantasy life? If so, then would you? Do
Just remember that the doors are not closable, and your motherfucking heroes are disposable. It's an true Hollywood story. Take a man child with his own glory. Now guess who's next? It's an true Hollywood story. Take a man child with his own glory. Now guess who's next? About the hardcore that ain't hard anymore, or the shit talkers who ain't shit anymore, or the old fighters who can't fight anymore, or the white kids who ain't white anymore, or the actors that don't act anymore, or the rappers that don't rap anymore, or the hipsters that don't hip anymore, or the limpsters that don't limp anymore. Come on.
Question from our buddy Nick, who is confused about why his life is great, but oftentimes he just feels horrible. He's happy, and then it doesn't last. He's upset. He's sad about something, but he doesn't even exactly know why. He rationalizes that, well, I have everything I need. My life is basically good, but I feel horrible. I look in the mirror. I don't like myself. What's going on here? How can I avoid these horrible feelings about myself? This depression that comes over me when in reality my life is good. Why is this happening, and how can I avoid these ups and downs? Very first thing I want to let you know, Nick, is that you're not alone. I go through this quite often, more often than I'd like to admit. There are times where my life is fucking awesome. You guys watch me, and of course I'm a little bit of a celebrity because I make these videos, so you think that like my life is perfect, and in many ways it is, but there are times when I look in the mirror, or I just wake up, and for absolutely no reason, in my body, I feel horrible. And I know what you're saying too, because your mind is, your head brain is saying, dude, rationally, what the fuck is your problem? But you feel the heaviness in your body. I've shared many different ideas and perspectives with you on meditation and looking at yourself objectively, recognizing that these are just negative thoughts that come from our environment. Some even believe they're embedded in our DNA or come from past lives. I've also shared ideas about how to free your body from the tension associated with this. So I wanted to do something different and share with you a third of multiple perspectives that you could use when there are times that you can't rationally understand why you feel like shit. Why does depression come over me? There's a really great quote by Abdu'l-Bahá where he says, "Be generous in your prosperity, but thankful in your adversity." And it's a way of life, it's a way of balancing out the ups and downs of your life, because there are going to be times when you're prosperous. And when I say prosperous, it doesn't mean that you're making $10,000 a day. It means that life is, I feel good. there's a sense of prosperity coming over me. Things are good and they're going to be good. In those times, recognize that it's happening. Recognize that it's 50% of the game, the other side of the coin, and be generous in that. If you feel good, give those good feelings to other people. Say nice things to people. If you got a little bit of extra change in your pocket, buy something for someone, you know, a stranger. Hold the door open, smile, say a kind word. Be overflowing with that prosperity when you have it. Do not hold on to it or do not suppress it. Do not be stingy with it. Give in every opportunity that you have when life is prosperous, when you're feeling good. It's gonna set up. I've experienced this myself and I use this technique quite often. And it's a perspective that I have to keep reminding myself of, and that's why I'm sharing this with you. It sets up, when you're that way in prosperity, it sets up a stronger rebound when in squalor, when you're, what was the word I used? When there's adversity. Now this adversity might be internal adversity. You're just feeling bad about stuff. You don't know why. Or it could be that things are really bad. Circumstances have played out such that there are things that aren't really good in your life. Right now, things are hard. Someone died, you failed something, whatever the case may be. A woman broke up with you. You're in adversity. In that time, now I mentioned rebound. Now you can even help the rebound even more because really all of life is about how we choose to feel about it. When you're in that circumstance of adversity, be it intrinsic or extrinsic, cultivate gratitude. It's very difficult at that time, but trust me, it's going to help catapult you back into good feelings. Good feelings are a choice, but we've got to know how to navigate the circumstances of our life in order to get more of good feelings than bad feelings. And like I said, when you give during times of prosperity, there's good feelings and it's a stronger rebound from times of adversity. And during times of adversity, when you are grateful for all you do have, it again brings back good feelings. It allows good feelings. All this is subjective because, you know, there are people who have everything but are depressed. And there are people who have nothing and they're happy. It's all about the choice. And when you are in adversity but you're grateful for the little that you have, you choose feeling. It rebounds you back into the, you choose the feeling of goodness, well-being in your body. I have a lot of great things in my life, but there are times when I just don't feel good. So I have to remind myself, boy, I have a great wife who supports me and loves me with all her heart. I have beautiful children who are healthy. I mean, that's a unique thing. There are children in the world who are born unhealthy. I can help. I can put food in their mouth. Not only can I put food in their mouth, but I have a knowledge of what is healthy for them that I can support them with. I have a car. I'm healthy myself. I don't have any chronic disease. I have a roof over my head. I'm wearing clothing. I've had a meal today. I can drink clean water. There's clean, fresh air for me to inhale. No matter how bad things get, there's always something. It's usually the most rudimentary thing, the most basic and primal things that you've got to be grateful for. You choose to be grateful for. Choose to be grateful for the fact that your heart beats. What a magnificent thing that your heart beats. Or that you have a shower. How crazy is it that we have water that goes through pipes that just rain down upon us? We have rain to clean our body at our will. And you could even adjust the temperature of that rain. That's magnificent. I mean, that's never happened before in the history of mankind, right? I mean, how long have we been doing that? We've got sewage. You take a shit and it doesn't stay here. It doesn't like linger and create disease. You've got toilets you can flush. You've got a refrigerator that keeps your food from spoiling. My parents grew up in Belize and they had to eat whatever they harvested for that day, you know, or they put it in like salt or something. You have a refrigerator. More than likely. Life is good, but we tend to forget when we become too focused on what we don't have, and we become focused on the bad feelings that sometimes come out of nowhere. Like I said, there are those that believe that they come from past lifetimes. Something bad happened to you 7 lifetimes ago, and it's showing up in your body. You don't need to analyze it. You don't need to tangle with it. But what you can do is to allow it to dissipate by being grateful for what you do have right now. Be generous when times are good, and be grateful when times are bad.
Life to a bitch. Absolutely.